Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, open forum. If you've got a question about the life, the faith, the history of the Catholic Church, this is your hour, 888-318-7884. If there's something you always wanted to know about Catholics, something you already know but need a little help explaining, just give a call, 888-318-7884. You don't have to be Catholic to call. Anyone can call. It's a special day for us here at Catholic Answers, three generations of Chamberlains here in the studio. Nick, our sound engineer, his daughter, and his mom and dad are all in the studio, and it's very distracting to have a baby in the studio. Very hard to do a radio show when there's a cute baby around, Nick. Knock it off. And our guest this hour to take your calls, Jim Blackburn. Jim Blackburn, longtime associate here at Catholic Answers, longtime apologist and speaker. And you can connect with Jim via Catholic Answers if you'd like to book him as a speaker. Isn't that right, Jim? You're at CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com?
I am. I'm on the Catholic Answers Speakers Bureau.
Right. You've written a whole bunch of books, including several. I think you might be one of the top authors of 20 Answers books in the 20 Answers series.
And I have four of them.
Yeah, so. I think you're... I think that might put you in the top. I don't know. But all is well, Jim Blackburn. I feel like I haven't spoken to you a long time. I think maybe the last time you were on, I was not.
I think that's right.
But I'm happy that you're here.
Nice to talk to you again, Si. Glad to be back.
You as well. And you do some stuff going out and talking with groups of like RCIA groups and confirmation groups and stuff like that. So that is all wrapped up now, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's confirmation season, and that seems to be the latest string of talks that I've been doing is for people who are preparing for confirmation, whether they're young students or adults. And but that is pretty much wound down now. But I'm available for any types of talks like that. I do a lot of speaking at parish ministries. For some reason, and I really enjoy that. They're smaller groups often. It allows for a lot of interaction, you know, one-on-one interaction with the people there, and I really enjoy giving those kinds of talks. Sometimes I prefer that to, you know, a larger conference with.
Yeah, because these are the folks that are in the parish doing the ministerial work of the parish.
That's right,
and you're helping them. To be fully prepared in their faith and all to do that work.
I've even done several. I've been called in to just sit down and answer questions and do, you know, spend an hour or two just answering questions from, say, catechists or people in the religious education department. And I really enjoy that. It's a lot of fun. So I have that listed actually as one of my talks that I offer through the Catholic Answer Speakers Bureau. It's just an open forum Q&A like we do right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Yeah, have you got questions?
People enjoy that.
I should do that, but I would have to bring you with me. I could just be I'll be like, okay, I'll come answer your questions, but I'm going to go like this. Jim Blackburn? That's how I'm going to answer every question. Jim Blackburn? And then you answer it, just like we're going to do today for the next hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
That'll be my new gig, just being the guy that says Jim Blackburn before you answer a question. Which is actually what I do on the radio. 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-31-TRUTH. We are going to get to lots of calls, despite the fact that there's a baby in the studio. We're going to get to calls. We can't just be completely preoccupied with little tiny little people. Let's go to Debbie in Ohio, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. Debbie, you are on with Jim Blackburn. Your question, please.
My question is, where does the Catholic Church stand on cremation?
Okay, well, cremation is an option typically for Catholics if it's something that they choose for the right reasons. We recognize that our bodies break down. When we die, our bodies are going to break down and eventually become dust. For example, as we're told in Genesis, that's something that is going to happen to our bodies anyway. And sometimes people just prefer the idea, maybe for lower expense or other reasons to just have a cremation done, which essentially reduces the body to dust immediately. And that's the church is open to allowing that. The church does allow it. However, there have been times in the past where, for one reason or another, a Christian or Catholic might oppose a teaching of the church, such as the resurrection of the body, bodily resurrection at the end of time. And a person might, because of his disbelief in that, almost out of spite, choose cremation as though to say, see, God's not going to be able to resurrect my body because there's nothing left of it, essentially. Of course, that's ridiculous. God can resurrect a body in whatever state it is. So the church, knowing that there have been issues in the past where people would basically, out of defiance of church teaching, choose cremation, the church has inserted into the Code of Canon Law a canon that says that cremation, the church does not prohibit cremation unless it is chosen for a reason contrary to Christian doctrine. So as long as it's being chosen for some reason, for some other reason, then the church allows cremation.
Okay.
And then one other piece of that is does it have to be, I mean, what about spreading the ashes then, like out on the lake, or
Great follow-up question, Debbie. And the presently, the church does not see the sprinkling or spreading of the ashes as a reverent treatment of human remains. The church right now, at least, requires that in the case of cremation, that the ashes be interred, and that they be interred at a, say, a Catholic funeral home, you know, not even sitting on the mantle, you know, in someone's home. They must be interred and at a, preferably a blessed, say, Catholic cemetery, but not sprinkled. The church does not see that as a reverent treatment of the remains. Now, that could change. That's a discipline of the church. It's not a doctrinal matter. So the church could, as culture comes to recognize, and I think our culture largely has come to recognize sprinkling of ashes as being a reverent treatment of the remains. But until the church says that that is appropriate, the church does not allow that.
Debbie, thank you so much for those questions. I thought Jim and I together answered your questions really well. See what I'm saying, Jim?
Thanks a lot. You were a great help there. Appreciate it.
We team up like that, and I think that just makes a wonderful presentation. We go to the church. Anybody can ask me any question they want, and I just say Jim Blackburn, and then you answer it. I don't think you're seeing the brilliance of this. Trudy in New York, watching on YouTube. Thanks for watching us on YouTube. Trudy, your question for Jim Blackburn.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call. I recently became a Catholic, Easter Vigil this year. And so I've been, like, trying to explain the faith to Protestants and, like, other people that don't like the Catholic Church. And I was trying to explain Mary, and there's like a verse in the Bible, or a part in the Bible where it talks about like when Jesus was on the cross and he told John, behold your mother. And I was explaining that to my cousin, and she said, well, that's only for John. That's not for the entire, humankind. So how do I explain that to her, that, you know, Mary is all of us, like, she's our mother?
Sure. And certainly, Trudy, and by the way, welcome to the church. Welcome home. It's wonderful that you've entered the church fully now. At the cross, Jesus' words, certainly the most literal understanding of what Jesus is saying to John here is that, you know, he is giving Mary to John for John to care for Mary, and for John to care for Mary as his own mother. Mary, your son, John, your mother. So that's certainly the most literal of what was happening there. However, the imagery of that for the rest of us, you know, John would go on as one of the apostles to live a long, long time and teach the faith. Mary is, and John would, of course, go on and care for Mary. But this imagery of Mary being John's mother is something that spread then to the church. John, as an apostle and representative of Christ, yet a human being and representative of the church, is someone who would now have Mary as his mother, and Mary, in a sense, then becomes the mother of the church. Now we can go at this from other angles as well. We see Mary in the Book of Revelation, for example, being depicted as our mother, and it being depicted as a queen of heaven. The mother of the king in ancient Israel was recognized as the queen. You know, Mary is the mother of Jesus, our king, and she is now our queen, the queen of heaven, and in that sense, she's our mother as well. So I suppose here you could step in and recommend maybe a book by Tim Staples or something that would maybe go into a lot more detail on this.
Well, you're very gentle the way you said it, because you know what I should do is just send her a free copy of Tim Staples' book, Behold Your Mother. And Tim, it's a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines, and it's all about Mary, Trudy. And we'd love you to have it as our kind of welcome home gift. Would you hang around and give your address? If you would like the book, give your address to Maggie, our brilliant call screener, and we'll get that out to you.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you for answering my question.
Thank you, Trudy. Thank you for the call. Call anytime. That's why we're here. And between me and Jim Blackburn, we can answer any question you've got. We are quite a team, the two of us. He's got the answers, and I've got his name, Jim Blackburn.
I have an identical twin brother. His name's Jeff. And literally, between the two of us, you know, there is no question we cannot answer.
Really?
Any question, not even just on apologetics or faith and morals, but anything. You can ask anything. Now, what we generally do, of course, is if you were to ask me a question I don't know the answer to, then that means Jeff is the one who has to answer that, and he's not here right now. So,
I see how that works. I was thinking of our relationship kind of like this. You remember that the highest scoring the basketball player in history was Wilt Chamberlain, scored 100 points one night, and there was another guy on the team that scored 1 point, and he always referred to it as the night that Wilt and I combined for 101 points.
Nice.
That's the way you and I do it. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Jim Blackburn Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Hey, everyone. This is Jim Blackburn, Catholic apologist, author, and speaker. Speaking of speakers, did you know that you can arrange for me and a whole host of other Catholic Answers speakers to speak at your conference or parish event? Go to CatholicAnswerSpeakers.com to get all the information you need to book one of our amazing speakers today. That's CatholicAnswerSpeakers.com. We look forward to seeing you.
Tim Staples here. Since May is the month of Mary and Mother's Day, I'm offering a great opportunity for you to help yourself, your family, and your friends to get to know our Blessed Mother more deeply than ever before. And to help make that happen, we're offering my book, Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines, for only $9.95. Folks, that's over 45% off the regular price. From her Immaculate Conception to the Annunciation, from her title as Mother of God to her perpetual virginity, from her assumption into heaven to her role as co-redemptrix, I'll give you all the facts and back them up with solid biblical evidence in a way that's easy to read, remember, and understand. Make this May the month you, your friends, and your family grow closer to the Mother of the Church, our Mother Mary. To get your copies of Behold Your Mother, call 1-888-291-8000 or log on to the shop at Catholic.com.
St. John Paul II stated that, for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation.
So we know we're called, but how do we do it?
St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Wow, this is a big hour. This is a big deal here at Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. It is open forum. Jim Blackburn is our guest. But the mighty Todd Agliolaro also joins us in studio. We haven't done this before. I'm just realizing. Todd is the publisher of Catholic Answers Press. Did I say that right?
Director of publishing?
Director of publishing. That's the way. Yeah. Okay. Director of publishing. So all these books and everything, all that stuff, that's all Todd's work. And there are brand – he's not the author of all of them, but it's all Todd's work to make – to acquire, to edit, to produce those books. Yeah.
Sounds pretty impressive, doesn't it?
It does sound really impressive. I wonder about your eyesight, though. Has it suffered at all from that?
You know, I'm just about the point where I'm putting on the reading glasses now, yeah.
Oh, really?
The ravages of middle age.
Well, yeah, but looking at – but there is the computer thing too now, though. Mm. So you can bump up your
–
what do you call it? Font size? You don't know how to
explain.
Do that.
Explain.
Do you edit on a computer or you don't – you prefer not to?
Oh, no. That I have to do. Everything's done on screen. Although sometimes I whip out the red pen, yeah, from every now and then.
And you know all those editor marks.
Oh, yes. Yes, the secret code, the hieroglyphics.
Yeah. So we got three brand new books here, and that's why we're super excited. And there are three books in the Catholic Answers series. Jimmy Akin was in last hour and mentioned his brand new one, Bible Difficulties. Michelle Arnold fine apologist here who rarely will appear on the air, but she wrote a book on Judaism that you said focuses mostly on modern Judaism?
By and large, yeah.
And then Dr. Stacy Trusenkos, who will be at our conference, wrote on bioethics. Can I just ask you about them? Like the 20 Answers Judaism, is this going to help a Catholic say, I pick up this book as a Catholic? Is this going to help me to understand who Jews are today and how Jewish life relates to Catholic life in the modern world, all that? What am I going to understand?
Yeah, both of those things for sure. Pope John Paul II said that Jews are our elder brothers in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's untrue to say that if we want to understand Christianity, if we wanted to understand Catholicism, we have to know where we came from, and the roots of our faith are Jewish. And so although, as you say, Michelle's booklet focuses more on modern Judaism, its different groups,
mm-hmm.
its holidays, its practices.
Oh.
You can't get there without also going a little bit through Judaism's history and the Old Testament.
Yep. And these 20 Answers books, the idea is I can sit down with this. It's not going to be a commitment of months' time or something.
No, that's the great thing about the 20 Answers series. So we have 29 titles now in this series, and they're all real quick, easy reads, but they get you the information that you need without a big investment of time.
Right. So how was that? I joked about it not being hard to write the bioethics book, but 20 Answers Bioethics in this day and age.
Well, and I have to give Stacy so much credit. You mentioned her before, Dr. Stacy Trusenko. She's a doctor of chemistry and a theologian,
yeah.
And a Texan. She's a triple threat.
And a Texan.
So this was one of the hardest ones collectively we've ever had to work on because first of all, to get it right, I mean, we're facing some scary times ahead in this medical scientific technology field.
Yeah.
We've got things on the horizon right now that would blow away what sci-fi writers came up with just a few years ago.
Right.
And Catholics who are interested in preserving the truth about the human person and the dignity of human life need to be aware of these things and know how to speak to the culture about them. And she nailed it.
She did.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, she's awful good, Dr. Trusenkos. And then Bible Difficulties, Jimmy Akin. How many of these has Jimmy Akin written for you? Do you know? Do you even
the 20 Answers booklets?
Yeah.
Just a few, maybe three or four.
Yeah,
Trent Horn is our reigning champion on the 20 Answers titles.
What's he up to?
He must have done 7 or 8 of these by now.
Really? Because I was saying to Jim Blackburn, I thought at 4 Jim was in the lead or was near the lead.
Jim's mid-pack, but
really?
He's probably right in there with Jimmy, yeah.
Do any of these sound appealing to you, Jim Blackburn? You feel like you're going to get any of these books?
You know, I want to have them all in my library. I think that they just
well, I'm not giving you all of them.
Resource.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. You're like St. Therese of Lisieux. I take all. So 29 of these now, mm-hmm. and this is like getting a theological education reading these 29. You're going to understand your faith in a profound way if you...
Yeah. Well, you know, every year we do the 20 Answers Challenge, which is... it's a challenge to get through all of our 20 answers titles during Lent. So it's got a spiritual component and a kind of a catechetical component, of course, an apologetical one as well.
Yeah. How can people get them?
www.catholic.com.
Go to catholic.com. So now you can still order them as a set, but the set keeps getting bigger and bigger, right? So
it does. And I know that our marketing folks have all kinds of different packages and samplers and ways to order them in an economical fashion. I'm not fully up on what those are right now.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. 20 Answers Bible Difficulties, 20 Answers Bioethics, and 20 Answers Judaism are all, now, you know what? The Judaism one, like, do we have anybody, any Jews who can read it for us and kind of go, you're on track, you're off track there? Or?
Well, Michelle actually did have, she has some rabbi friends that she consulted with during the writing.
And, I see, yeah.
You know, there's some sensitivities in this subject especially.
Yeah.
And Michelle is really on top of those, particularly when it comes to the question of, as some Catholics want to do in a perfectly innocent way, kind of co-opting certain Jewish holidays and practices.
Oh, yeah.
And incorporating them and Christianizing them.
Right.
And even though the intentions may be good there, there are some sensitivities you should be aware of.
Yeah, right. Fair enough. Well, is there anything I didn't get to that I was supposed to get to?
No, I think we did everything.
Did we?
We didn't talk about Jimmy's book good enough. We really deserve more than we talked about.
Well, Jimmy was in here talking about it.
Ah, okay. Well, then.
So, and he said it's not exactly a small copy of Trent's book because he covers some things that Trent doesn't and Trent doesn't, but that this is a good basic look at the most common difficulties people have.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. It's, as Jimmy probably told you, it's split half into principles for understanding Bible difficulties and then half into kind of hard evidence on specifics.
Yeah, and it takes Jimmy forever to write these things. He told us that it took him more than a week to write this.
I think he did it. I think he dictated it into his phone on the way to work.
I doubt it. His house is like 7 minutes from here. There's no way you couldn't even read it that fast.
Jimmy's a marvel with this. Yeah.
Hey, Todd, so many great things coming out from Catholic Answers Press. It's just, it's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, we definitely are excited.
Yeah, cool. And what about Dr. Drzenko? Is she going to write anything else for us? Is she going to write a big tome for us?
I would love for her to, and I'm hoping, especially when we see her this fall at our Catholic Answers Conference, that we'll have some talks about that.
Yeah, because she may be getting too big for her britches. I don't know.
She's also to be found on Catholic Answers Magazine online, our online magazine. She's a frequent contributor there as well.
Really good. Okay, so three brand new 20 Answers books from Catholic Answers Press, Bible Difficulties, Judaism, and Bioethics. They go along with 26 other 20 Answers books on just almost everything you could want to know as a Catholic.
Getting there.
You're getting there.
Yeah.
Thanks, Todd Aguilar. This was really fun.
Thanks, Si. I had fun too.
And you're going to do the panel shows with us now on Fridays?
Just heard about that today, so I can't wait.
Yeah. Okay, good. Oh, we got a yes. All right, Blackburn, back to you. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. Thanks, Todd. Thanks very much. Let's see if we can get a call in here before we have to go to take the quick break. Let's go to Pius in Richmond, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Pius, you are on with Jim Blackburn. Your question, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have been a Catholic all my life, and as I grew up, I have researched and spoke to a lot of priests who are my friend. And I have had a question in my mind that how does the church determine that a person who has departed from here has gone to heaven or hell if it is true that God is the only person that can tell what is on a person's heart, like what is the level of faith in Jesus Christ, which is one of the ways that we go to heaven, if the person believes or not, or if whatever they are doing is good. with God or not, but how we...
Okay, Pius, I'm going to let Jim start to answer that because we're coming up to the bottom of the hour. But how do we know, Jim, that a saint is in heaven if we can't know anything about what's in their heart? Only God knows that.
Okay, great question. You know, Jesus did say that this judgment has been given to him. Of course, he's speaking particularly of condemnation. So we do never, the church never states definitively that anyone is in hell. But given evidence, you know, and an examination in the canonization process, the church can determine that someone is in heaven. And so maybe pick that up.
Yeah, let's do that.
After break. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't manage the clock there well, Pius. If you could just hang on, we'll get the rest of Jim's answer and your any further questions you might have when we come back after the break. Jim Blackburn is our guest. Open Forum is our topic, meaning if you got a question about the Catholic faith, we're going to do our best to give you an answer. 888-31-TRUTH is the number. Be right back after this.
Catholic Answers Live. The only thing missing from today's broadcast is you. Call now with your question.
What difference does it make who or what you worship or what you believe? Sharing the faith used to make some people mad because it challenged their own strong beliefs. Today, it makes a lot of people yawn because they don't have strong beliefs about anything. Religious indifference is the great spiritual sickness of our age, a product of the relativism that dominates modern culture. This is Matt Nelson, and in my new book, Just Whatever, I'll take down the building blocks of religious indifference one by one. We'll look at the different kinds of indifference you tend to encounter in your friends and family members to see where they come from and why they're seductive. What you believe matters. Find out why and what to do about it in my new book, Just Whatever. You can order your copy of Just Whatever by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
God helps those who help themselves. Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. We all hear sayings like these, and we assume they come from the Bible, the saints, or famous Christian writers. Nobody can seem to place their origin, but by sheer repetition, they've acquired a halo of truth. In my new book, What the Saints Never Said, I look at over 40 of these well-known sayings and track them back to their original sources. You'll be surprised at what I found. Some are close to what was really said. Many were misattributed or twisted beyond their original meaning, and more than a few of these sayings were simply made up. I hope by setting the record straight, I can make you aware of the theological errors that can lead us away from the faith and offer you authentic quotes from scripture, saints, and scholars that will draw you closer to our faith. Get your copy of What the Saints Never Said by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
EWTN is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If your cable or satellite provider doesn't carry EWTN's full programming lineup, give them a call and let them know you would like to receive EWTN 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
For more information, go to EWTN.com and click on television.
Woohoo! There it is. Don't talk, Nick. Let it play. Nope. Uh-huh. That's right. A little bit of the groovy music. I forgot. I didn't see it coming. There's the Thursday groovy music. Jim Blackburn, you may not know this, but that's my happiest time of the week, that 15 seconds while the groovy music plays. And then he won't play it any other time during the week. So there's never like, let's just make Cy happy today. We'll play it. No, it's very strict rules. You only get to play it on Thursday, second hour, after the second break, and there it is. We were talking to Pius before we went to the break in Richmond, Texas. And Pius, do we still have you there with us?
Yes.
And so I just want to review your question for Jim Blackburn to make sure that we're – but you were asking – oops, there was – you were asking something about the when this – we know that certain saints are in heaven, or we say as Catholics that they're in heaven. But how can we know that if we can't know their hearts? Am I correct about that?
Yes. If we can't determine if they've done good or not, so how do we know they're in heaven for sure?
I gotcha. Okay. So Jim had only just begun to answer that question I'm going to give you a little bit of an answer here because I know where Jim was going, and we have a minor technical difficulty I'm noticing. But he began by talking about Jesus as the judge, and Jesus makes clear to us in Scripture that he's the judge, that he has the power, or that's the seat he sits on. That's his position. I know that what Jim further was going to say, or would have gotten to, is that Christ conferred on the church the power of binding and loosing, that what the church says, which the church declares as true is true, or what the church declares as held is held, and what the church declares as untrue or what the church says, no, you don't have to do that. Those things are true, and that's the basic power of binding and loosing given to St. Peter and to the apostles. And so the church does have a charism given to it by Christ to be able to discern and then say, the church doesn't decide to send the saint to heaven, but merely to say at beatification that saint is in heaven, and at canonization to say beatification is not a saint, but beatification, that person is beatified, they are in heaven. And at canonization to say that person is not only in heaven, but is worthy of our imitation and lauding on the altars of the church. So all that's happening when the church says the saint is in heaven is not that the church is putting the saint in heaven, but that the church is given the powers of discernment and binding and loosing that Christ gave the church. It's declaring that that person is in heaven. Does that help you at all?
Yes, kind of. I think it gives me the, I'll do more research in that and I see what's going on.
So okay, that sounds like a very polite no, but you're still not convinced that we can know that a saint is in heaven.
Yeah, maybe due to my ignorance of the ignorance of the word and the rules of the church. Deep inside, I know that the church has the power to make decisions of that, like referencing that Jesus talking to Peter. But he said, "Whatever you forgive, it's forgiven, and whatever you retain is retained."
Right.
I don't see the relation between forgiving and determining that the person went to heaven, especially if, let's say, maybe I committed a sin and I did not repent to the priest. So is that sin not forgiven or forgiven if I intentionally not repented to the priest? Is it retained then? Can that keep me from going to heaven? I may not make sense, but I think those are the questions.
I think I'm following you, but I will stress that the church doesn't have the power authority to judge your heart or mine or anybody else's. That's not what it's the power to declare that we know for certain that the person is in heaven. But it's certainly true that yes, if you have unrepentant sin on your soul, that especially deadly sin, that has the potential to exclude you eternally from heaven. It's not the case that Mother Teresa didn't die with that on her soul, not because the church says so, but because it's the case, and God allows the church to discern that and declare that Mother Teresa is in heaven.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Yes. You're welcome. Boy, Jim Blackburn and I are a really good team. The two of us are a very impressive. Are we still looking for Jim? Okay. We don't know what happened. I hope Jim's all right.
I can hear you. Yes.
Hi, Jim. Well, we have Josiah in Fishers, Indiana on the phone. Josiah, you are on with Jim Blackburn. Your question, please.
Hi. I was just wondering what Mr. Blackburn's opinion on the internet star Dr. Jordan B. Peterson is, and what he thinks about his newest book, if he's read it.
Okay, Josiah, yes. I have not read Dr. Peterson's book. I'm not really very familiar with him. I've seen a couple of interviews that he's done. I've seen them online. I find him to be very articulate, and in the interviews that I've seen, he seems to largely agree with Christian doctrine. I don't think he's a Catholic. I'm not sure he's even a Christian, but he, from what I've seen of him, he seems to have good arguments for a lot of what he's talking about. But that being said, I've only seen a couple of videos of him, so I can't sign off one way or the other on him. What I'd recommend that you do is, this would be a great question to post on the Catholic Answers forums, the discussion forums. You'll get a lot of feedback there, I'm sure, from Catholics who are familiar with him, who maybe follow him, and who can give you an in-depth opinion on whether he's, real solid when it comes to Christian doctrine or not. Cy, you might have another suggestion for Josiah?
I don't, actually. I don't know. I know of Dr. Peterson. I know of his book, 12 Rules, is a super big bestseller. But I have not familiarized myself with him more than that. I will say that my predecessor in this chair, Patrick Coffin, interviewed him on Patrick Coffin Media. So you might try that interview. Jordan Peterson is one of those people I keep telling myself, oh, I got to find out about this guy because someone's going to call and ask us about him, and I haven't done it yet. So the other one is Father Martin. I'm sorry, I haven't gotten to their books yet, and so I don't. But Josiah, is there any particular reason you ask? Is there something in what Dr. Peterson says that you would like to know whether or not that jibes with what the Catholic Church teaches?
No, I follow him pretty closely. Actually, I've listened to his podcast a lot. I've just been seeing a lot of criticism from Catholic and Christian online media for him not being a Catholic or a Christian.
Oh,
and I'm trying to understand where that's coming from, because his ideas are no less true just because of his religious beliefs. Especially when it pertains to mostly politics and our modern political discourse, because that's what he focuses on.
Yeah, right. And he's a psychologist,
so
is that right?
I understand where that. Right. Yeah, he does politics through psychology. Yeah.
Yeah. That I don't know, but it's certainly the case that there are many important and good ideas that come from outside of the church. God doesn't say only a Christian can have an important thought. But I don't know. So I think your instinct is right on that point. We can't dismiss someone just by saying, well, they're not a Christian. Well, why is that a dismissal if his ideas are good? But as far as evaluating his ideas, I don't think Jim or I can do it. Even though we are a magnificent team, I just don't think we can do it. Sorry, Josiah.
All righty. Thank you.
God bless you, brother. Now we got to go read his book, Jim. We got to take a break. I'm going to see if I can read it during the break. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Dale Alquist of the American Chesterton Society, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine? We hope, but if not, right now we've got a deal that you're going to love. We've reduced the price and thrown in a free digital subscription when you subscribe. That's right. Subscriptions to Catholic Answers Magazine just got cheaper, $10 less on one-year subscriptions and $20 less on two-year subscriptions. And right now, when you purchase a subscription, you get a subscription to the digital edition added to your order for free. With a deal like that, it's the perfect gift for friends, family members, seminarians, your priest, even yourself. When you get right down to it, what other gift has the potential to touch hearts and reap eternal rewards? Log on today to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com and sign up yourself, your friends, and your family for a magazine that is bound to make a difference in their lives and the lives of those they meet. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
What difference does it make who or what you worship or what you believe? Sharing the faith used to make some people mad because it challenged their own strong beliefs. Today, it makes a lot of people yawn because they don't have strong beliefs about anything. Religious indifference is the great spiritual sickness of our age, a product of the relativism that dominates modern culture. This is Matt Nelson, and in my new book, Just Whatever, I'll take down the building blocks of religious indifference one by one. We'll look at the different kinds of indifference you tend to encounter in your friends and family members to see where they come from and why they're seductive. What you believe matters. Find out why and what to do about it in my new book, Just Whatever. You can order your copy of Just Whatever by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Killett, your host, and I am joined by Jim Blackburn. Between the two of us, we make one fine apologist, and that is because I just defer to Jim on everything, and that means the apologetics work gets done. 888-318-7884, the number. We go now to, weren't talking to someone when we went to break? No. Let's go to Deb in Nebraska, listening on 91.5 FM, The Spirit. Deb, you're on with Jim Blackburn. Your question, please.
Yes. When it comes to funeral mass and burial, what are the Catholic teachings and practices for a stillbirth, death very soon after birth, or miscarriage, abortion at any stage of pregnancy?
Okay. Jim Blackburn?
Okay. For a funeral mass, my understanding is that you can have that. If baptism wasn't possible for the child, there can still be a funeral mass. I may be wrong on that, but my understanding is that because the Church recognizes that we don't know with certainty the state of the soul of an infant that's died without baptism, we can hope for the salvation of Israel, that God provides a way for that. We see this in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. The Church recently, 5 years ago or so, took this issue up in a document as well. You can find it on the Vatican website or the U.S. Bishop's website. The idea of the limbo of the infants, for example, is something that, while it has been a theological speculation in the history of the Church, it's not something that modern theologians are holding to so much. Modern theologians look at Jesus' words, "Let the children come to me," and recognize that while baptism is the ordinary means of initially receiving salvation, receiving the grace that's necessary for salvation, that God is not bound by that sacrament. And there are other ways that those graces can be received, such as through baptism of desire, or baptism of blood, such as martyrs, when martyrs die for the faith. So infants who die without baptism, we can hope for their salvation. Now, as far as a funeral mass, whether a funeral mass, I'd have to check the book on the rites. It's called The Rites, and there's an Order of Christian Funerals in there that's probably available, Deb, at your parish library. I don't have it in front of me at this moment, but that's where I think you would find the definitive answer on that. So hope that helps.
Okay, Deb?
In terms of burial, are you aware of funerals and burials for miscarriages, or how soon? You know, there have been miscarriages in my family, but more distant relatives, and that's something that, you know, I guess is not really brought up because it's such a painful thing. And I guess I just don't know if that happens, especially early.
It does. It does. Catholic funeral, in fact, if when it does happen, the parents or whoever's helping out can ask for a Catholic funeral director or Catholic funeral home to receive the remains of the, these are human remains of a deceased person, and they should be treated as such. They, and this is something that Catholic funeral homes will carry out. The mass part of it is the question I wasn't real certain about, but I would think that that a mass could be offered as well, whether it's for the hope for the, of the salvation of the child, since we just don't know. That would seem to be the reason for a funeral mass in that case.
Deb,
so I hope that helps some, Deb.
I do too. Deb, thank you very much for that call. You know, something I learned a few years ago, Jim, that I never understood is a guy who runs a Catholic cemetery told me, you know, Catholic cemeteries are ministries and that people should remember that. And if you need help, maybe there's a poor person who died or is, you're not. The Catholic cemetery folks think of themselves as engaged in a ministry, and they do engage in a ministry, and you should call them if you have questions and need help with those
Absolutely.
Kinds of things.
Great resource.
Yeah, right. And that's why you should support your Catholic cemeteries too, because, you know, burying the dead, that kind of thing. These are works of mercy, and these are wonderful places in many cases. Aaron in Seattle, Washington, watching on Facebook. You are up next with Jim Blackburn. Your question, please.
Hello. Jesus Christ affirms that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. But how can I love God in such a way if I can't see him or perceive him with my other four senses?
Oh, okay, Aaron, that's a great question. I think it really, the way that to approach this is to understand what is love. And, of course, we know God is love. And so but how do we love God, especially with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength? One clue to this, I think, can be found in Jesus' words, where in John's Gospel, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He who does not love me does not keep my words." The idea here being that it's the love of God is following him, following his commandments, keeping his commandments, embracing the truth that he has given us through the apostles and through apostolic succession in the church. That's how we come to know him. We can't know him in the sense that two human beings can meet and get to know each other personally on a very human level, but we can know God. We can know Jesus by understanding who he was and embracing his teaching and the beauty of it, the sacraments that he gives us for our salvation, the sacrifice he made on the cross. You know, he also said there is no greater love than this, that one lays down his life for his friends. And when we look at the crucifix, we see that Jesus did that himself for us. So knowing that, we can put him first and keep his commandments, embrace his teaching in the church, and take advantage of all the gifts that he offers us through the church, its sacraments. And that's how we love God. He also, of course, said the second greatest commandment, the first is to love God, the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. So also in loving others, we're loving God. We're keeping the second greatest commandment, which is love of neighbor. And by loving neighbor, our neighbors, which our neighbors are everyone, that's a way of loving God. It all goes hand in hand. That's what he came for, is for this love, which is what we're created for, so that we can have that and then live with him eternally in that love. So does that help? Would you have a follow-up question on that, Aaron?
That helps a lot because it makes me realize how important the church he established is, so it doesn't become an abstraction.
Hey, how yes. cool, Aaron. You're right on right. the money there. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for that call. Call back anytime. We appreciate it. I want to just move because I want to get to as many as these of these as I can, especially while Jim and I are doing such a great job answering questions between the two of us. Dolores in Hanford, California. You are on with Jim Blackburn. Dolores, your question, please.
I'm so thankful for you guys. God bless you.
Well, thank
Listen,
you.
I live in the country, and 40 acres over is the next house. And some people moved in there, and they seem like pretty nice guys and all that stuff. And I drove by and noticed that they had a red sticker underneath the right-hand side light, and it says, Hail Satan.
Yikes.
And I'm not kidding you. It just knocked me off for a loop, and I kind of freaked out, and I've been freaked out about it for like a week. And I was like, well, I'm certainly going to pray for these people, but should I throw some holy water on their Jeep?
Well, you want to melt it.
Should I ask them why they have that? I don't. My daughter-in-law said she thought maybe it was a band because they're from Florida. So I looked up that, and it said that some people that believe that Santeria or, you know, funny religion, that terrible religion or whatever, maybe they're one of those kind of people. But I don't know.
I don't know about Santeria. You might be Santa Muerte, maybe, but I don't even think that would. There's this kind of new kind of Satanism that's out there, you know, with the Baphomet statues and all that, this idea that it's kind of an atheist Satanism that it might be connected to. And what I mean by that is they think of Satan as a symbol of a rebel that, you know, it's like Saul Alinsky is starting his book with dedicating it to Satan. They don't really believe in Satan, much to their detriment, but they use Satan as a kind of symbol of their rebellion. Jim, I don't know. What do you make of it?
Well, Dolores, how well do you know these guys? I mean, you might want to ask them about it and say, "Hey,
I don't have any, you know, hey, whatever. I'm not celebrating them, but." They're two nice guys. One's a pilot, and the other one works for EMP.
Mm-hmm. Well, you might find out what their purpose of having that. As your daughter mentioned, it's a band, possibly. And that may be the case. And yet, if you have young children, especially your grandchildren, and they were to see that, it could be, you know, scandalous, especially if they know these neighbors and know them to be nice guys. So I don't think it's out of the question to get to know your neighbor a little better, maybe, and ask. Say, I'm a Christian. I see this bumper sticker, and I'm just wondering what it means, and is it something that would be offensive to me? And if so, you know, maybe we could talk about that, and just see what they have to say. And they might, just knowing, especially if it's something that they view as harmless, like for a band or something, knowing that you have concerns about it might be enough for them to just take it off their car, and then you don't have to worry about it anymore. But I'd say, Doris, the best thing to do is, if you can, just go to them about it, ask them about it, and see what they have to say, and decide then how to proceed from there.
Say, hey, what's going on? Yeah. And I'll pray to the Holy Spirit, to help me with this, because I don't know why it's bothering me so much, but it's scary, I think.
Definitely pray about it, pray for them, and but it'd help maybe to know what you're praying for. If it's something they intended to be harmless and they don't see how it could be scandalous, I suspect they, again, especially if they're nice guys, they might just remove that. So best of luck with that, Dolores.
And do you want to tell us what airline this guy's a pilot for? I don't want to fly that. No, just kidding, Dolores. Don't do it. I'm only joking. Thanks for the call. That's a strange one, but man, you see more and more of that stuff, don't you, Jim?
Yeah, when I see something like that, I'm not afraid to ask somebody about it. So I see a bumper sticker. What? Just tell me about that. And oftentimes, it seems like people, but it's not what I initially expected it was. You know, people will explain, oh, that's, you know, like in tourists, so that's just a band, or that's
Right.
You know, a restaurant or who knows. I don't know.
I'm not going to Hail Satan restaurant. Jim Blackburn, it's always a pleasure. I'm sorry we had a little technical difficulty. It's very spicy there. God bless you, Jim. Tomorrow, we got Jimmy Akin in here. And who else we got? You remember? Dr. Ray Guarendi. I forgot about that. See you then. God willing. Catholic Answers Live.